Studio 360.
David Bowie's song Fame is kind of an anti-anthem of fame by a young artist who right then, 1975, was just becoming famous. Four decades later, in the reality TV, social media, YouTube age, celebrity or just notoriety are more completely than ever ends in themselves. These days, especially in America, calling somebody famous for being famous is not much of an insult. One word, Kardashian. But something that hasn't really changed when somebody famous enters almost any situation, it's a little weird for everyone.
How does one reconcile this strange mist that comes in the room when a famous person walks in with the fact that fame is a social construct?
A new book called Fame, The Hijacking of Reality, takes a very personal look at what that's like for the well-known person from inside and then outside the reality-altering bubble of show business celebrity.
I'm Justine Bateman. I am a writer, director, producer, and now an author. And years ago, I was a very famous actress. I played Mallory Keaton on a show called Family Ties, and it was in the 80s, and I was 16 when that show started.
Our next guest plays Mallory Keaton in the new NBC series Family Ties.
My next guest has grown into an intelligent and articulate young woman while playing the role of the not-too-bright but very lovable Mallory Keaton.
What's it like for you now that you're famous and being recognized in the streets?
Famous.
Sure, come on.
Oh, it must be nice when people recognize you. I say it's nice when they do and it's nice when they don't. Mm. You know, sometimes it's nice, you know, you gotta be nice and because you are public property. What would we do, baby, without us?
Sha-la-la-la. That gave me the experience from which to begin to write this book about fame and why we seek it and how out of control that seeking has become. Hey, you want to go somewhere with me? I'm talking about emotional time travel. You up for it? I want to show you the inside of something, of fame. The only way to do it is for me to pull you in there with me. So it's me talking. We're going to go in there and I'm going to tell you how it feels. Sometimes I'm talking to you in this book and sometimes I'm talking to someone who took a shit on me in the press or online. I don't want you to take it personally. I'm going to trust you. When I pull you into this emotional tornado, I'm going to trust you to know when I'm talking to you and when I'm talking to not you. To know the difference. To know if I'm talking to a friendly supporter, a person innocently curious about what fame is like, or if I'm talking to a malicious hater from my own memory. Just be in there with me. Let it toss you about. Okay, get in the rowboat and let's go down the river. The name of the book is Fame, The Hijacking of Reality. I'd been thinking for a while about how fame had exploded around the year 2000.
39 days, 16 people, one survivor.
They're the men and women America will be watching for the next 3 months.
Live on this very stage, an as-yet unknown talent will be launched into superstardom.
We've invented this structure, this possibility for people to become famous, but in a way now that we just didn't have years ago. Like when I was quite famous, there wasn't this general desire to become well-known by anyone. It was just like something that happened to you and you dealt with it and there was the good and the bad, but mainly it was trying to keep the Coke in the bottle after you've dropped the Mentos in. It's unwieldy. I wrote it in a very raw, emotional, almost stream of consciousness manner. and not in a rational way, but rather, this is in real time, what's running through your brain, and it doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, but this is it. There's a framework underneath it, but what I really want it to be is this emotional time travel where I pull the reader back into, for me, 1982. So here I am, I'm in it. 16, I'm 16 when it starts, and I'm in it, in the fame. Didn't see it coming, just in it. People smile at me, happy to see me, so happy to see me, like a baby or a toddler, me, being looked at as if I'm the long-awaited child of a couple who thought they couldn't conceive, looked at as if I can do no wrong. Everything I do, looked at by others with big glassy eyes, smiles that cannot be drawn down with any of my actions, applauded for basic tasks even, like a toddler dressing herself, feeding herself, walking, running, scribbling shit on a piece of paper with a crayon and up on the refrigerator with pride. Everybody loving you, you, celebrity, you, newly famous person, everybody loves you, is proud to throw their arms around you and call you pal. So the book covers the life cycle of fame, the beginning, the love, the hate, and then the equilibrium where everyone just knows you're famous, and then the slide where maybe only you notice that the fame is slipping away, and then the descent where everybody notices and it's like sand through the fingertips, and then the without. And are you ever really without? Are you ever allowed by the public to become somebody for whom fame had never occurred? If you suddenly lose your job, you realize, oh, I didn't realize I had my identity attached to it, or my ego, or my self-esteem, or how my friends see me, all these things, and it will start ripping at you, which is why you see so many sort of shipwrecks. Okay, here's what happened. There were all those other comments, sure. She looks great and all that, but I wanted to know the fucking goddamn truth because, you know, I'm all about that. And if so many people were saying that I look like a crack whore, then they must be right, with me being wrong. I decided that I didn't look right, that I did look terrible, like something gone wrong. I decided that, and I walked around ashamed of my face. That decision riddled my entire body with the belief that to look upon me was to look upon horror. That people were choking back the bile when they had to speak to me face to face, that I disgusted them, that they were brave souls to be talking to me and allowing such pleasant looks to remain on their face during the exchange. I began to feel ashamed. Yes. Every time I walked out of the house, every time I sat across from someone at a table, over dinner, coffee, anything, and had a conversation. Every time a waitress would ask if there was anything else she could get me, every time a cashier in a store would hand me back my credit card and bag my purchases and tell me to have a nice day, I felt the gratitude. Thank God I got through another day without somebody fainting from looking at my face. I didn't expect it to work through so many of my issues with the decrease of fame as it did. And I really wanted to be faithful to the reader and to the process of really putting that down. My fear of that is not specific to me. I mean, I think really that's a fear that many people have that goes down to a core fear of being invisible or being ignored or being erased. I am so glad to not have fame now. There is a tremendous amount of freedom for me now in not being famous, and has been for years. Like, did it? Great, fine. But man, it's not a trip I want to take again.
Justine Bateman's new book, Fame, The Hijacking of Reality, is just out. Studio 360's Lauren Hansen produced our story.